Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
The kingdom mentioned, and so much has been said, and the convention is still on, and many other things will be said, and we're going to see God at work in our lives. Amen. Once again, I want to appreciate the leaders of this house. I want to appreciate the set man of this house, Pastor Oluwaseyi Osoyinbi, for this privilege. Thank you, sir. Not taking it for granted. Thank you, Mommy, for standing by Daddy. Pastor Bello, we appreciate you. Amen. You know, it's a serious work. I'm sure they would have let, you have to leave a lot of things just to be here. Of course, the same applies to many of us too. Mommy Bello, you are welcome too. Amen. Pastor B. Ekusha Oluwa. Oluwa Sagbara Dotun. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Without, we are not wasting time. I don't like saying without wasting much of your time. We are not wasting your time at all. So there's nothing like without wasting. But without spending so much time on, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. Thank you for yet another privilege you have given to us to sit at your feet, to learn of you, to hear your instructions of life. We ask that you will cause the treasures of your word to be open to us this morning in the name of Jesus. Let there be understanding, let there be clarity of expression in the name of Jesus. Speak forth your word to us in the name of Jesus. Let the Son be glorified in this place. In the name of Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, let me quickly take note of the time. All right. Amen. So I want to just talk briefly. I really don't think I have a particular direction that is so strong on my mind to talk on this morning, but I will just talk and just see how the Holy Ghost will help us today. I was talking the other day, but before I go there, let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I just want to drop something, then we'll go back to, you know, some of the things we said when I came up on Tuesday. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went he out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went he out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went he out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. We shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, let's take note of this scripture. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Now, this this scripture is a very, is, this statement that Jesus made here is a very strong statement and is worthy of our consideration. Jesus said, of all men born of women, that there hath not risen a greater. I think if I were to take stock today, or if we're going to ask ourselves, apart from Adam, I think every other person that has lived on the face of the earth falls within that set. Hello? Of all men, among them that are born of women, it's only Adam and Eve that we know that they were not. Adam was created by God, Eve was brought out of the ribs of Adam, but when they were going to give birth, in fact, Eve was called the mother of all living. The mother of all living. I don't know who John is, and I really don't know what it is about him, but if Jesus says something about someone, I think I have, 100%, I have to believe it. He said, of all among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Meaning even John himself was not in that kingdom. Hello? Am I correct? Because if the least in the kingdom is greater than John, if the least is greater than John, then that means that John himself was not operating from, he was not operating in the true strength of that kingdom. That's the implication of what Jesus is saying here. Of all among them that are born of women. Of course, there are different ways you can interpret that. But if we're going to look at it from just literally as it is written, he said, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And then the next, I now told us that as from the days of John the Baptist till now, that same kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Now, if all men that have risen, if none of them happens to be greater than John the Baptist, like I said, only God knows the yardstick for making such statement. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could have made, only he knows the yardstick for making that statement. Of course, you know that John the Baptist was, he was like a midwife. He stood, of course, even Jesus Christ was still a prophet of the Old Testament. I hope you know that. Jesus Christ was not a New Testament prophet. Of course, he spoke of New Testament, but he himself operated, the Bible says that he was born under the law, made of a woman, born under the law. He operated under that capacity, of course, but he came into usher in something. There was something that was new inside of him that he could not unveil and release until he was resurrected from the dead. But all the things he said were things that pertained to our time. Hallelujah. So John stands in between, and that's why he said, verse 13, he said, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So John, there's somewhere that John stands in the spirit that has a lot of signification. But that is not even our deal this morning. What I just want to show is that if John, if all the prophets, as much as we revere them and we owe them in our esteem, if Jesus declares that none of these men rose greater than John the Baptist, yet, even in the greatness of John the Baptist, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, then I think the matter of the kingdom is something that we're supposed to give much attention. Hallelujah. It means that the matter of the kingdom is something that we are supposed to focus more on. And in such times as these, in fact, these are the days where the issues of the kingdom supposed to be the top priority, or even the top of whatsoever we discuss or whatsoever we talk about. Hallelujah. And thank God that in such a time like this, we are considering this matter of the kingdom. But take note, because I've heard people say things like, yes, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Listen, he didn't say the least of, how do I put it? He didn't say the least among them that are of the kingdom. He didn't say the least among them that are of the kingdom. He said the least in the kingdom. So, meaning that of course, we are born of the kingdom, and that is our heritage. That is our heritage, that is our calling. It is our election. Is that little children, it is of your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Of course, it's a decided fact that God wants to give the kingdom to us, but that does not mean that, of course, we saw yesterday that we see the kingdom, we enter the kingdom, and then what? We inherit the kingdom. So, there is a difference between me seeing the kingdom and me being in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? You can only claim to be on a higher pedestal than John, not because you were born of the kingdom. You can only begin to talk about that when you begin to have what? Entrance. When your journey begins to spring from the kingdom. I want us to know that God is multidimensional. God is multidimensional, and God is rich, and God is vast. And so, sometimes we can look at certain dimensions of God and some things that God has shown of himself, and we'll be like, wow, this is great, this is awesome. And yet, God is saying, well, these things are just still little things. I've not even brought you to the real matter. Look at the discussion of Jesus with Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was confused. He said, how can a man be, will he enter his, Jesus began, he said, are you not a teacher of the Jews? He said, I'm talking to you about any matter. What if I begin to talk about things that are higher than this? Will you be able to reason? Hallelujah. So God is multidimensional. And that is why if we fully move into the fullness of what God has for us, there is necessity of an earnestness that we must have. Mediocres can journey with God. Mediocres can journey with God. If we are people that are easily satisfied, and if our satisfaction, if our bowels are short, if our bowels are not expanded, it is impossible for us to talk about kingdom. Because there are operations and dimensions in God outside of the kingdom that a man can live in for ages. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. There are dimensions from God that are not part of his kingdom that if God should open up to you, you will be satisfied. And for generations, your name will not be forgotten. I'm just trying to expand our vision this morning. There are certain things that we have lived. He said the things that are highly esteemed among men are abomination in the sight of God. But there are certain things that are highly esteemed among men, and God said, wow, these are still little things. As you are now, if God should exalt you to the status of one angel, how will you feel? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If God should exalt you to the status of just one angel, one of those angels, God should just exalt you to the status of that angel, how powerful are you going to be? Sir? Amen. You know, you can imagine. But when we now begin to talk about the matters of the kingdom of God, We are not talking of simple things here. We are talking about things that we are just trying to really, really understand what he's talking about. And that is why Jesus said that there must be a sin of the kingdom if we are going to appropriate entrance. And like I've been saying, that one of the reasons why we are dull, we are slow, we are not energetic as far as kingdom pursuit is concerned, is because of limitation of sight. If you have truly seen anything to give your life for, you will give your life for it. Hello? The reason why you are here this morning is because you have... there are different cases. For some, the reason why you are here this morning is because there is nothing more important than being here. But for some people, you have counted being here as more important than every other thing. That is why you are here. It's in different categories. Let me say it again. If you have not seen something to give your life for, you won't give your life for it. So the reason why we are what we are, the reason why the church is the way we are, is because our sizing of the kingdom is dim and is, in fact, I don't even know if we are seen yet. Of course we are seen. But we are not yet seen as much as we ought to see. Now, Bishop Bankole was saying something yesterday about, I've forgotten the way he put it. Now, ask yourself, why will such men like Paul, why will men like Paul live the kind of life they lived? Why would those apostles live the kind of life they lived? It's not because of anything, it's just because of sight. There is something they have seen, there is something they have comprehended, that nothing else matters to them outside those things. You need to read Philippians chapter 3 and look at what Paul said here. Hallelujah. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Like I said, that I'll just flow and Philippians chapter 3. So that I won't take our time, there's no point reading from verse 1. Let's just take it from verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which I have behind, and reaching forth unto those things which I have before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at the manner of life of this man. If you read the epistles of Paul, you see the things he suffered, you see the manner of life he conducted, then you ask yourself, why is this man living this kind of life? I have one answer for you. It's because of what he has seen. It's because of what he has seen. And the sight is so powerful, the sight is so compelling, that it cannot just let go of anything for it. Let me tell you something. Sight is, listen, when you really begin to see, it is difficult to separate you from the thing that you have seen.
What led to the fall? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman what? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. No, the tree has always been good for food. But she has not seen that dimension. The tree has always been pleasant to the eyes, and it has always been a tree to make one wise, but she never saw. But the day she saw, she took. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. And did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And then we find ourselves in all of this problem. If sight brought us here, sight will take us out of here. There is nothing we can do about it. And that is the commission. That's what Paul was saying, that this is my commission. Let's go to Colossians. Is it Colossians? No, sorry. It's Ephesians. It's Ephesians, not Colossians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, it's good to read scripture. Let's read from verse 1. Because if it answers, Lord, whatever when time is up, we'll go. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his only apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is it? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to what? And to make all men what? See. What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. What did Paul call his commission? He said, my commission is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You don't know what teaching does. You don't know what sight does. And that's why Paul was saying, he was talking about somewhere where we're talking about food eating to idols. And he was talking about, of course, you that you don't eat. You believe there is no God and you have knowledge. And because of knowledge, you are free. But he said, if another person sees you eating, he said, let his conscience be emboldened. And he eats that same thing and then he lands himself in trouble. Now, when sight comes, I get what I'm saying. Your hands and your legs begin to walk. Did she not have hand or the wife? Why was it? You think that it was sin that brought hand? It's not the sin. The reason why we are not walking, and the reason why we are not walking, is because of sight. I will sit down here. But if I, of course, how do I put it? I can be here and I can be here for the next 1 hour. But suddenly, if I suddenly see something happening in that place, you see me, what? I migrate. Why? Because I saw something. What I'm just trying to talk about this morning is to make us see the importance of sight. The importance of sight. We have to see. That is the first thing about the kingdom, that except a man be born again, he cannot see. But being born again alone does not necessarily mean that we are going to begin to see. Otherwise, we ought to have fully seen the kingdom if all it takes is just to get born again. If all it takes to see is to just get born again, if all it takes to see is to just get born again, then by now all of us should have been well versed, and we should have a full comprehension of what the kingdom of God is, of what the reign of God is. But the truth is that we are not there. Except we want to deceive ourselves. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Sight. Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby had given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Corruption came into this world through lust. Lust means evil desires. What is the foundational evil desire? It was the thing that the serpent sold to Eve. This is still a matter of sight. Lust is capacity to see, generated by your flesh and self. Hallelujah. Amen. There are many. If I go that way now, I don't think I'll be able to. No, let me just, please, don't mind. Let me move on. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying in essence is that lust, the corruption that we are in now, the disalignment, the earth is producing a result that is contrary to what God planted. That is what is calling corruption. I think we saw it in the course of this. Somebody said something about, that householder that planted. He said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears. He only sowed good seed. But along the line, tears came in. That's corruption. We didn't plant this here, but we are seeing it here. That's what he's talking. There is a corruption that is there, and that corruption is rooted in lust. And that is why, for God to bring redemption to man, they must begin to declare the promises, which is the original desire that God wants men to fellowship with. Listen to me. You can only be delivered from a hope by another hope. People don't live a state of hopefulness to hopelessness. Hello? I don't get what I'm saying. You don't live a place where you have hope. And you say that what you want to go for is hopelessness. It doesn't happen. Nobody does it. When you see a man that is earning, maybe somebody's earning 500,000 somewhere, and he quits his job, and he said he wants to do his own business, he has seen something. He has seen that what I want to do can give me more. He's not living hopefulness, hopelessness. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You can't pick me out of a hope into hopelessness. No. And that is why if we are going to be saved from this corruption that is in the world, those promises must be preached. Are we together this morning? Hello? Are people sleeping? What I'm saying is simple.
I'm still embellishing, I'm just embellishing the same thing I'm talking about. I really don't know if Adam and Eve knew much about the tree of life. I don't know. I really don't know much if God took time to really, because I don't know for how many years the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in that place before they ate it. But they didn't eat it until that tree was spoken of. Hello? That is why preachers are very, very important. Preachers are high openers. That was what that serpent came to do. He only came to preach. The serpent was a preacher. He only came to preach. This thing that is here, all of you are just looking at this thing is here. This thing is loaded. This, look at what is there. Look at what, if you don't eat this tree, something will happen to you. And then when she saw that, she was convinced. She was convinced. And that we don't need small preachers. We actually, like I said, we need kings that are preaching. That we talk not of a kingdom that is coming, but of a kingdom they know and that they can declare to you. And that's why you hear someone like John say, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. We are saying this thing to you so that you can have fellowship with us. We have been there. We want you to come. Hallelujah. These are different kinds of preachers. Moses was a preacher that was journeying and was preaching. Moses had never been to Canaan land before. Had he been there? But was leading the people there. Hello? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. He was leading them to where he has not been to. Do you get what I'm saying? But of course, he's a leader. But when you look at these New Testament apostles, when you look at people like John, they were not just, of course, they too were joining, but they got to a point that they said, come, this thing we are talking about is what we are fellowshipping with. We want you to come in. Hallelujah. My time is almost up. Let me quickly. There is something I want to. All right. So, verse 4, 2 Peter 1, 4. Whereby are given unto us the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, say it takes more than promises. Say it takes more than promises. See, I'm not just here to. I want us to. This is a very practical epistle, and these are things that we have to really take note of. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now it says, "And beside this, beside what?" He has talked about the promises that have been given. He has talked about, the power of God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he has talked about the promises. He now said, aside from this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Look at these things. For if these things be in you, and they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. For he that lacketh these things is what? He that lacketh these things, what? And what? Cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, what? This place talks about those two things that pertain to the kingdom. Both sin and what? Entry. Is that he that lacketh these things what? He that lacketh these things what? Is blind. And if you do these things, you will stand and show an entrance to the what? John chapter 3. That's all. Listen.
listen, I want to tell us, see, this is more than listening and hearing message. See, we have exalted revelations to a point that we are beginning to lose certain things. I don't know if there is a way, I don't know if there's a way we can do, maybe we say love practical session. Get, just understand what I'm saying. Now, look at the things he wrote here. He said, if these things be in you, and the what? Abound. Now, let me say something. He said, they will make you that you will not be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain that to you. When, at a point in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus called the disciples, he said, what do men say that I am? They said this, they said that. He now said, what do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He now said, thou art Peter. You are stone. On this rock, I will build my church. You build with stones, isn't it? But when you don't have builders, what you will have is a heap of stones. Most of the time, what we have in church is not building, it's a heap of stones. People that have so much revelation that knows a lot, but other things that needs to put it as a building is not there. He said, if you lack these things, you will not, okay, he said, if you have this thing at the about, they will make you, you will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are unfruitful in it. Now, a woman that is barren doesn't mean that the man is not meeting him. Huh? You get what I'm saying? When I say a woman is not able to produce, does not mean that he has not met her husband. He has met her husband, but it is not what? It's not producing. So even if Christ come and come and preach of himself to us, if we don't give attention to the things that we are told to give attention here, we will only have a heap of stones. And nobody lives in a heap of stones. God is coming to live in a building. He's not coming to sit on a heap of stones. If there is this thing be you and abound, they will make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it takes more than revelation to enter the kingdom. You must put all the other parts of it, and it will not just come by spirit, it will come by effort. What did he say here? What do you think spirit is? You think spirit is I'm standing here and then I just see myself just moving, and I'm not a part of it? You think that's how the Holy Ghost work? I don't interpret tongues, sir. But when you interpret tongues, does it mean you just do like this and then you are just talking, sir? Is that how it works? It doesn't work that way. Is the vessel that is being used is involved. I know pastor does those things by faith too. So when you say spirit, what do you mean by spirit? I'll be sleeping one day in my house, and then since you just start walking, you will hope till eternity. He said, giving all what? Diligence. I want to emphasize on that matter. Listen, we are going to be enabled by the Spirit, but you must have yielded yourself to that Spirit. People don't walk in love by mistake. You say, I just got impatient. I've not met that person. Who did not have a conscious and consistent, journey with the Spirit? Many times, maybe sometimes you fall, and then there is a part of making up your mind and receiving help by the Holy Ghost to continue in that path. There is a pressing aspect of it. We have to press. What is the pressing about? He said, giving all diligence, add to your faith work moral excellence. We must begin to give the same diligence of listening to scriptures, of also watching our character, and ensure that we are walking in alignment with the life that we are receiving. It won't just happen because we sat down, we heard word. That's what I'm saying this morning. It won't just happen because you came here. I can tell you, you can go back after this meeting and nothing will happen to you. If you sit down, you continue to sleep. This is very practical. It's like giving all diligence, heart to your faith, virtue. And to virtue what? Knowledge. And to knowledge what? Temperance, self-control. Listen, I'm not saying that you don't need the Holy Ghost, but I'm saying that it's... Wait, don't we have... I've been a Christian for how many years? I got born again in 1996. That's how many years? 22. Kai, I was not prepared the MBO. As young as I am, I have 22 years in the faith. I think that's not too many of my generation have that kind of testimony. Yes, now, 22 years. And out of those 22 years I've been a preacher since 2000. So that's like 18 years of preaching. I think I should do 20 years, celebration of 20 years in ministry. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that this same Holy Ghost has been in me for 20 something years. And as I am now, I can still go to bed. Maybe if my wife does something and I'm angry, I can still go to bed and go and sleep. I forget that he says, let not the sun come down on your anger. This one, let the sun come down. I'm angry. Amen. And there are certain things we still do, and we still see ourselves throwing off the handle sometimes. But doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is not there. The Holy Ghost is there and is actively working, enabling you. But we are not just giving attention. Please, there is a part of you giving attention. There is a part of you making process. There is a part of you endeavoring. Look at what he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. He didn't say the Spirit will keep the unity of the Spirit. He said endeavoring to keep it. Why? Because it wants to fall apart. There are things contending against us, and the Holy Ghost is supposed to help us to win the victory. But it doesn't mean that the presence of the Holy Ghost means automatically that things will just work. Look at the things he said. Not let temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about knowing him. It's making, bearing fruit according to that order of knowing. Say, boy that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, forgetting that he was purged from his old sins does not just mean that he has forgotten that he was purged. No, he forgot that he was purged, meaning that he received it. It was grace. I don't know if you understand. It's like this. Perhaps this cloth was, of course, wasn't given to me. If this cloth was given to me, they didn't even been given to me. And when I bought it, says you have forgotten that you were purged. It was grace that came to you. You see how people can even fall and descend. Why? Because we are not giving attention to practical issues of life that he wants us to keep attention, which are going to hate the revelation itself. Don't forget, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So, engrafted word in a hard heart is going to be unprofitable. So, as much as I'm endeavoring to receive engrafted word, I must also be endeavoring by the Spirit to press into meekness. Why? Because that is the recipient, that is the soil that is needed for that word. And that is why we are becoming proud, having known so much.
It's not fruitful. I have to stop. Wherefore, the other brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. This is more than committing sin. You won't fall. You will have stability. You don't know what he says. He said, when these things are in you, there is no amount of hope that can be painted to you that can destabilize you. You can stay. That pain capacity is as a result of this commitment. Church, I don't know how we're going to do it, but what I'm saying is that it's time we begin to also give attention to those other things. Let us not just be excited about, we must be excited about our work, the time to receive the word, and all of these things, but this thing will not be productive if we are not consciously by the aid of the Holy Ghost, give attention to those other matters. Love. I used to say, knowledge is not the hallmark of spiritual maturity. It's love. We don't rate you by what you know, but we rate you by your work. If your work is not in alignment with what you know, you are living a disorderly life. And in the sight of God, you are not respected because it is hypocritical. Father, we give thanks to you. Thank you, Father. Let your word bear fruit. Let your word be productive in us. Help us to give, help us to, by the Holy Ghost, press into these things that you have asked us to press into. That your life might find expression in us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.
Beloved, the Father of Lights is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.